online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog the Podcast. It's the show where we talk about the news, trends, and best practices of internet marketing, web 2.0 development, as well as traditional media and technology. And then we show how all these things tie together to improve your company's bottom line. You're listening to show number 10, Podcasting in Your Marketing Toolbox. I'm Lon Keller, senior editor here at Sundog Studios. And with us today is our first official guest outside of our regular panel of experts here at Sundog. Mr. Tim Berquin joins us. He's the founder and CEO of TNC New Media. Along with his brother Emil, Tim produces the New Media Expo. It's an event that's grown so large in just 4 short years that they had to move it to the Las Vegas Convention Center. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lon. I appreciate you having me on.
Great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's Friday. It's beautiful here in Southern California, so yeah. I'm looking forward to the weekend.
And we finally, I think, found our way into spring here in the north central part of the country up here in North Dakota, so I think we're doing quite well.
Okay, good.
So our listeners can get a sense of who Tim Berquin is. Could you tell us how you began your career in podcasting and new media?
Sure. Well, I come from the trade show background, and I have an even little weirder background than that. I used to be a Los Angeles police officer and started a business doing trade shows kind of by accident, like most people start a lot of businesses, and I've been doing that since 99. But we also wanted to start some website media companies as well, and so one of those that we did start was called Endurance Radio, and it was a streaming media site for triathletes online, runners, marathon runners, adventure racers, that sort of thing. And we started doing interviews and putting them up the MP3 files, and this was in 2004. And I started to get a few emails from our listeners who had said, you know, I love listening to your interviews and talking to other triathletes and nutritionists about how to train and race and everything like that. But I don't sit in front of my computer a whole lot. I'm out, you know, doing long bike rides. I'm doing runs to get ready for the weekend races. So what I do is I manually drag those MP3 files onto my MP3 player or my iPod, and I go take them with me. I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. This is not the type of group that sits in front of their computer.
Sure.
So I went looking for a way to make it easier for them to do that and did some internet searching, and it just happened to be about a month prior someone had coined the term podcast. And it was a way to deliver the audio file automatically to the subscribers. And I thought, well, this is perfect. So looking more into it, I found there was this audience of very small at that point podcasters who were looking for ways to improve their shows, asking questions about microphones and equipment and ways to grow the audience. And I thought, the trade show guy in me said, there's a trade show here. There's companies that want to sell products to them, and they want to get together and then talk about how they promote their and create these shows. And so we started the first event in 2005, and it's grown ever since.
Well, very good. So, you know, you got your interest in the technology side of podcasting and how everything works, but now your event focuses on the business side of podcasting and new media, not just on how podcasters can generate revenue,
right,
but also on how businesses can use podcasting as an essential tool in their marketing mix.
No, absolutely. We have a corporate track of our conference, and that's a pretty big part of our trade show now, is talking about the corporate side of things and how to use it, anything from internal sales and training to using it as a marketing tool for their own products and services. So it's become a big part of the show, and I basically designed the show initially and still do to this day based on what I would want to go to, because I'm a podcaster too.
Mm-hmm. And you certainly practice what you preach. Like you mentioned, you and Emil have your own podcast, The Podcast Brothers, and primarily that show is used to promote the expo, correct?
It is, and we knew from the beginning that we wanted to do a podcast because it seemed kind of silly to have a podcast convention without having our own show, but at the same time, we knew that nobody's going to tune in to a 30-minute commercial for a trade show every week or every other week, so we decided we would do a show that would be of interest to the people we wanted to come in the first place, and so we do a show all about the business side of podcasting and new media, how to use it, how to grow an audience, everything in between. in the hopes that, yes, we'll also promote the expo at the very beginning of each show, too, so that we can say, well, we're going to do this all year long, and it'll convene once a year in this big convention where everybody can get together, and we can meet all the people that have been listening to us, and and vice versa, and just a great place to network, too.
Great. What are some of what are some other areas where a podcast can be helpful to a business?
Well, marketing is the first one that comes to a lot of people's mind. They're already looking at blogs as a way to do that, but they want to, they're not sure where to start in terms of how do I create something that people are going to want to listen to that's not going to sound like an infomercial. And some businesses have done this really well. Others have kind of fallen a little bit flat. But there's a whole other area of podcasting that people don't think about too often, which is the internal podcast, and that's becoming a lot more popular as well. So podcasts that go out to a sales rep organization or something along those lines where they can do training, whereas in the past, everybody had to be on a conference call at a specific time of day, no matter where you were in the world, and it was a little bit tough to get everybody all together at one time. And they're using podcasting as a way to record it, send it out to everybody who needs it, and not have to make them be on the phone at a specific time of a specific time of day.
There's something that's just special about the power of the human voice that still conveys a greater message than anything on print could ever do.
Yeah, certainly. And sending out memos and everything else that companies do can kind of be like that. It can become kind of this faceless, nameless thing. And when you hear somebody talking about it, it's a whole nother level of a relationship you have with whoever you're going to in that, as that audience.
In your opinion, what finally makes a company say, you know, we're gonna try this podcast thing?
I think it's somebody champions the idea. They've been listening to podcasts for a while. They see other companies doing it successfully. And they become basically the advocate for it in the company, and they sell it to their bosses, and it goes from there. The places, the times when I've seen it fail is when somebody has the idea, you know, we really should do a podcast. Let's hand it off to such and such person. I don't think they have enough to do, or something like that, where it's not, it doesn't come from the person who has the passion for it. But when you get one person who kind of takes responsibility for it and really wants to do it because they enjoy doing it, they think it's going to work rather than having it dumped into their lap, that's when the beauty of podcasting, I think, really shines through and when it really works for companies well.
Podcasting as a whole, anyone who's out there doing one, they're doing it because, most importantly, they love what they're talking about.
That's the primary thing. I mean, you even if you saw a business opportunity, you said, well, there's not a podcasting about deep sea fishing, and I'm going to start one because I think there's an opportunity there. If you're not a passionate person about deep sea fishing, if you don't know a lot of people in the industry and know what you're talking about, that's going to come through to your audience of people who are passionate about it. So whatever you decide to do, you've either got to find somebody who is an expert and passionate about the subject, or try something else that you are, because if you're not and you're just doing it because you think there's a business opportunity or you think it's the right thing to do because everybody else is doing it, it's certain to fail.
Now, businesses getting into podcasting don't necessarily have to produce a show of their own. They have the option of being a sponsor on another podcast.
Right. And the key to that is not to be too concerned about the actual subject matter of the podcast. You just want to make sure that the audience that's listening to whatever subject that is the same audience that you want. For example, in Endurance Radio, when we started looking at demographics, when we did surveys of our listeners, we found that a lot of our listeners were attorneys for whatever reason. You know, they're type A personality and they go out and do triathlons and are successful people and they want to be successful in a lot of different areas of their life. So, you know, the first thought would be Gatorade or Powerade or something like that would be a great sponsor, and certainly they would be. But also, law firms or Westlaw or some of these companies that service lawyers turned out to be great prospects as well, because we found out that a lot of our listeners were lawyers. So you got to think out of the box a little bit, maybe do some surveys to see who your audience really is, and see and go out and then find the podcasts that have that audience, regardless of what that subject is that they're talking about.
What's the best way for a CMO to find that right podcast and the right audience?
Well, the job for a CMO has gotten a lot tougher in the last couple of years, especially for ad agents too. I mean, it used to be that with the old school media, if you will, you could go out and make a huge buy on television, or you know, buy a Super Bowl ad if you wanted to see this huge shotgun approach and blanket some area with ads. You could do that, but media is becoming a lot more fragmented now, so it's harder to find a way to get your message out to everybody, unless you're selling like toothpaste or something that everybody in the world is a potential customer for. So I would say go out and go to iTunes and look in the directory and find subjects that you think are a match. Go to just do internet searches and look for Your Subject X podcast and search for that and see what comes up. It's going to take a little more work to find those people. I think once you do, you're going to benefit from the fact that everybody listening to that niche podcast is going to be a potential audience. You don't have to worry about wasting half of your advertising dollars on prospects that aren't the right prospects because you're having to go out and blanket it with message. If you go out and advertise on 60 Minutes, certainly 60 Minutes has its own demographic, but you may only want to reach about 10% of those folks. But if you want to go out and find that exact audience and not waste a penny on any listener because they're all the right target, a podcast is certainly a way to do that.
Okay, very good. What's one of your favorite success stories about a business that really benefited by getting into podcasting?
Well, certainly one of them, and it's kind of a crossover into video too, is Blendtec. I don't know if you've heard about this blender company.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
So the CEO of this blender company in the U.S. walks by his R&D department one day and sees sawdust on the floor and wood chips. And he's thinking, what in the world are my engineers doing with wood chips and sawdust? They must be fooling around, wasting time. So he goes in, and to test the strength of their blender, these engineers are grinding up pencils and wood and junk in their blender that would never be put into a blender just to see if the blender can survive. And the CEO was smart enough to realize, wait a minute, we should put this on video, mm-hmm. and let's blend anything we could think of and start to get exposure for this. So one of the things they did that was huge for them is on the first day that the iPhone came out, mm-hmm. remember what a huge deal that was, they bought an iPhone and put it in the blender and blended it. And this thing got hundreds of thousands of views. So it started out as very kind of low production, turn on a video camera, start talking, blend up the most odd thing you can find.
Oh, man.
And now they've got almost an entire studio because they've increased their sales by like 500% by getting... By getting this kind of user-generated content almost out there. So that's certainly one success story on the video side. And there are others on the audio mm-hmm. side, too.
So you said that was Blendtec?
Blendtec. I think it's BLENDTEC.com.
Okay, we'll double-check it, and we'll have the link in the show notes. Now, some recent studies, like the one from Arbitron and Edison Media Research, they've shown that there's been a pretty good increase in significant growth in podcast listenership. How much of that do you feel is coming from the business community?
Oh, that's a good question. It's hard to say. I think it's still very, very much too hard to get a podcast for the most part. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't use RSS feeds. They have no idea what it is. They will never care what that is. They just want the content. Mm-hmm. So certainly the business community is more maybe tech savvy, I guess, than the average United States citizen. Mm-hmm. And so maybe their pickup of this technology on the newer side, on the early adopter side, is a little bit bigger. But I've never seen any statistics that say it's the B2B podcast or the corporate listener that's increasing it. That's a good question. Somebody should ask that at some point.
Do you think the Association for Downloadable Media is going to develop standards for things like that?
I think so. I think they're doing a good job, and it's an important job, and it's a tough one to do right now, is to try and kind of build standards for that. But I think it's necessary in order to, A, make it easier to get podcasts, and B, make it easier for companies who want to advertise on them mm-hmm. to advertise on podcasts. Because right now, it's a deal-by-deal thing. I mean, if you are not sure what you have, if you have a 15-second ad, or if it's just a host endorsement or some sort of product placement, it's all over the place. You kind of come up with things as you go based on what a company wants. Mm-hmm. So certainly they're going to make it easier on all of us to monetize our podcasts and then just make it easier for people to get them and download them and be listeners in the first place.
Okay. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges for a business that wants to get into the game?
I think some of the biggest is just getting started. I mean, on the corporate side, being able to sell the importance of it and the value of it to the boss and to the marketing department, because while podcasts are, it's getting easier to kind of see results and measure results is really what I mean. There are still a lot of ways that it's tough to do so, because if somebody downloads half of the show, do we know if they listen to it or if they download the whole thing? There's no way to know absolutely for sure that they listen to that show. Now, in some sense, people, I think, are holding podcasts to a higher standard than they would TV or radio, because just because the TV or radio is on, mm-hmm. especially in the days now we have TiVo, does not mean anything about listening or watching the advertisements.
Right.
So, people can flip channels or whatever. So, it's not a whole lot different than traditional media, but for whatever reason, podcast is held to this higher standard. And I think one of the things that corporations do that don't see results is that they throw up a podcast up there, maybe put it 3, 4, 5 clicks away from the homepage, don't promote it in any other way, and then are surprised when nobody listens. And it takes more than that. You've got to push it out as a campaign like you would anything else, put it on the homepage, mm-hmm. have the CEO talk about it, really get behind it, and spend some money on it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's when they'll have success. So I think the big challenge is to get everybody to buy into it who needs to be bought into it to make sure that that happens.
One of the parts to keep a good podcast going is regular content updates. A company must be prepared to, you know, if they're going to make the dedication and commitment to producing a show, right. produce it regularly. How regular is regularly?
Well, I would say if you could do it weekly, great. If you don't have the resources or time to do it weekly, at the very least monthly, no fewer than monthly. One of the good examples, though, of a podcast that's very successful is the American Association of Microbiology. They have a podcast at Microbe World that is a daily podcast that's 90 seconds and very popular. And they get right to the point, boom, 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 every day for 90 seconds. So don't feel like you have to do this hour-long show. In fact, don't. Mm-hmm. Our stats have shown that most people, their attention span for these sorts of things are about 20 minutes tops.
Right.
So, you know, we did some live streaming tests where after about 30 minutes, we lost about 20% of our audience. After about 50 minutes, we'd lost 80% of our audience. So shorter the better. Don't mm-hmm. waste your listeners' time. If you don't have a show to put out, if you don't think you can fill up enough content weekly, don't decide weekly. Start monthly and at least do it once a month. And it's best, too, if you can just say it'll always be out on the second Tuesday of every month mm-hmm. or it'll always be out on the 5th of every month so the listener at least knows when the next one is coming.
Finally, Tim, I'd like to give you a chance to promote your New Media Expo. When is it? What can we see? What can we learn?
Thanks. I appreciate that. It's August 14th through the 16th in Las Vegas at the Convention Center. And this is our fourth year. And the idea of this is if you know nothing about podcasting or you've been doing it for 4 years, there's something for you. So the idea is to get everybody together and teach them the best practices and do case studies about how companies have done well with it and who hasn't done well with it and why, so you can not duplicate their mistakes. But also for everybody to get together. I mean, I've always said that one of the best reasons to go to a convention is those conversations in the hallway that happen in the hotel lobby.
Mm-hmm, always,
it's just a great place to say, you know, what are you doing that's working on your show? And you can get advice about, well, we weren't sure what to do when we first started and here's how we did it. So if you're just getting started or you've been doing it for a long time, it's a great place to kind of get a lot of information, see how other people are doing it, and find out what works.
Very good. One of the podcast brothers, folks, Mr. Tim Berquin. You can find out more about the expo at newmediaexpo.com. We'll have that link as well as the link to the Podcast Brothers podcast in our show notes. Tim, thank you very much for being on our show today.
Hey, Lon, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. And that wraps up show number 10. As always, thank you very much for listening today. If you have comments or questions, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. Audio comments, of course, are always welcome. Or give us a phone call at 888-9-SUNDOG. That's 888-978-6364. Or if there's an article you find on the internet that you'd like us to talk about on the show, head on over to Delicious. We have our own tag set up over there. It's Sundog the Podcast, all one word. Thanks again to Tim Berquin for being on the show. This is Lon Keller, and I will catch you next time on Sundog the Podcast.